should get a better lease. Everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM. It would be so awesome. Everybody would hear us.
Everyone would hear us.
And all the competing schools.
Keep it simple, that's the way to do it. That could be a new Rick Ocasek.
Hey.
We discovered
Tracy Chapman.
Before she made big bucks. We could say things on the air back then.
Oh yeah, we could.
With simple words like aw shucks.
Aw big shucks.
We would be really awesome.
We would be real awesome.
And we would really rule.
Yeah, we would really rule.
Everybody would hear us.
Everyone would hear us.
In all the competing schools.
Can you do a bridge, Paul?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go see.
One day we're gonna control Boston.
Yeah, right.
And we'll get calls from even Brookline, too. Maybe someone in South Yarmouth.
South Yarmouth on the case.
We're brought to hear they might be giants, too. Talent is wasted.
Oh, it is so wasted.
Cause no one can hear us at all.
It's too bad.
But MFO is 18 years now.
Almost 20.
Almost 20 and 6 feet tall.
Oh yeah, right.
We could be really awesome.
We could be so awesome.
And we'd really rule.
Honey, it won't be that long. Besides, I'd like to see a little more fat.
Yeah, I like to see a little more fat. You know, I like to see a little more fat.
Friends, it's On the Town with Mikey D, WMFO in Medford. My name is Angel, and this is sort of a co-opting of On the Town and Boston Emissions. It's fun. That's Weekend Friends. They will be in town. That's Peel from their Common Blah. We open the program with Morphine, Honey White. This month marked 20 years since Mark Sandman passed away. It seems like just yesterday, but it seems like forever. Doesn't it? All right, lots of new music. Wireline, we'll play something new from Junior Classics. We have new Motel Black, something from Club Delph with Haley Jane. Horse Mode, we have new Carissa Johnson. Freeloader, Set Fire are here. They're going to play live from Studio D. Frank Pino from Waltham is going to come in. From Waltham, we're going to talk all about Waltham getting the band back together. That's very exciting. And we're celebrating a big show August 3rd at the Sinclair. We're going to play lots of Waltham music. I just pulled it out of the vast collection here at WMFO. All right, brand new music. Walter Sickert in the Army of Broken Toys. Witchcraft, they are playing this Friday night with Eddie Japan at the Sinclair in Cambridge. This may be a world premiere. We'll be right back.
loose inside my heart. Me, don't wanna be apart. I will cry to see you go. Cause you are who's inside my heart. Thank you.
Town with Mikey D. It is Angel Wood here. I am saying we're co-opting this show as an On the Town Boston Emissions thing. I'm joined by the voice you just heard, Frank Pino of Waltham. I called the band Maltham by mistake earlier, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I like that too.
I'm surprised I hadn't said that before in, of all the years that I've known you. All right, so Waltham, you have done me a solid and agreed to get the band back together for the show. So I want to say it to the world. Thank you so much for agreeing. I've been on you guys to actually get the band back together for a long time, and it never worked out. You never said it's never going to happen. You just said I'm not sure when it's going to happen.
And now it's happening.
Yeah. So it's the original band members from back. Now this is Waltham's 20th anniversary.
Have you thought about that?
Have you thought about that?
Yeah. It's this, you know, the songs, they don't feel 20 years old. You know, the when we get together with the band, it just goes right back to where we left off. So
where is everybody?
My brother was living in LA for about 10 years, mm-hmm. and now he bought a house in Texas. So he's mm-hmm. in Dallas. Jonesy joined the Air Force.
Wow.
And then he moved to Colorado.
Okay.
Tony lives in Framingham. He has a house there. Daryl lives in Waltham, and I live in Waltham for sure. I don't think I'm allowed to leave.
You're Frank from Waltham, and then I also have to say Frank from Waltham, the band, because Not everybody realizes that Waltham is the band. I do, and a lot of, you know, our old school fans do. So what was the mindset like? We're actually really going to do this. Like, how was it? A lot of massaging to get everybody back together, or were you just kind of waiting for the opportunity?
We did a show a few years back.
Yeah.
We had and Noel had played guitar. Tony was unable to do it. So, you know, you don't notice the years go by. They just go by, and then
tell me about it.
and we're always kind of crystallized in that time. And this nothing to do with the other lineup. I love all the guys that we had played. The band has about 10 members, so mm-hmm. 11 members.
Yeah.
But being that it's my brother's band. Waltham is David's band. You know, it's, mm-hmm. and when he's into it and he's down to do it, mm-hmm. you know, it's he charges. With the spirit that he brings, yeah. and everybody's always down. If David's down, we're in.
Well, so. He's busy. It's not that he's just, you know, fun in the sun in Dallas. He's on tour.
Very busy. Yeah.
He's been playing with. I mean, the last time he and I really spent any time together, he was playing with Power Man.
Right.
And now he's been pretty actively on the road with Andrew WK for 5 years?
Yeah.
More than 5 years?
About that, something like that.
So he does come back to town from time to time when he's got to work at the car wash or
yeah, he's got to work for our old man. Yeah. He is a busy guy, but David's, you know, he's got a little bit of that touch where he kind of reads the universe a little bit. So when he feels it and it's time to play, then he sends out the beacon into the air and we see it and we're like, all right, let's do it. And because it's always really easy when we come together, it always stays fun. It's more of the process than anything, because we feel bad. You know, it's almost like, I always say it's the last day of camp, because once we have the shows, be it 1, 2, 3 or whatever, and then we're like, what do we do? And it just kind of goes back into its sort of dormant state. So,
what was the response when you started to talk about it pretty actively? Like, hey, guess what? We're going to play a show.
To the guys? To anyone?
Just in general.
It was a lot of about time. About time. That was a comment
I
hear a lot. Yeah. You know, they ask, why don't you guys just play more?
Yeah.
And
it's not that easy.
It just isn't. It really isn't, you know. And maybe this particular band mm-hmm. and what the band stands for and what it was from the beginning to now, maybe it's supposed to be like this. Maybe, you know what I mean? It just... Mm-hmm. For us to get to 20 years together, had we just stayed together, maybe crazy things could have happened. I mean, hindsight, 2020, decisions get made, mm-hmm. labels come in and out, managers, blah, 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 blah. But we just decided that it's friends first, mm-hmm. you know, and we know when it's time to play, we play. That's it. And we're going to play.
You got something special in store, I hope. Let's do this. Let's play some of the old school Waltham.
Sure.
I've got a couple stacks here. Let's do a couple of tunes and come back and talk a little bit about, I don't know, whatever you want to talk about.
Sure. Come and take a ride. I knew this girl who couldn't read my face. I'm 21 and she thought I was 28. I'm freaking out because I've been running for.
Baby, you ain't the first, but what can I say? Oh, come and take a ride. is alright around here. I've been to heaven and nobody but you said it to me that you've waited, and all I wanna do is get you to stay. So wait, and I'll write and I'll say I'll be your everything nobody can do, and I'll fight till I win. I'll lose that ever, cause nobody but you said it to me that you waited.
Upset that I don't have a song written about me. Or maybe there are, but, you know, Angel, it's kind of a tricky name. It's On the Town with Mikey D, WMFO 91.5. My name is Angel Wood, and I'm hijacking the show as Boston Emissions. I am joined by Frank Pino of the band Wall Fam that we've been featuring so far. I played a ton of stuff. What I play, Cheryl, Come and Take a Ride, Hook Me Up with Your Friend, Nicole, Summer Nights. We played Summer Nights, too, which I love. I love the puppetry. In the video of Summer Nights, been about three years ago you guys did that?
I think so, yeah, a couple of years.
Corey Feldman is in it. How did that happen?
I don't know exactly if he knows how it happened, but we were going to go anyway. We were going to go see him.
Yeah. He played in like Haverhill or something?
He did. It was downstairs from a music school that a friend of ours, Mike DeAngelis, is, you know, he runs and mm-hmm. is part of. So we also had a shop, a Pino Brothers sort of outing that was on deck to do as well. So we were like, all right, why don't we just combine them, get a party bus, we'll grab the cameras, mm-hmm. and because of the venue... And no offense to the venue or Corey Feldman, but I didn't think they were going to stop us at the door if we start walking in with cameras. It was just kind of like a pub sort of thing, you know? So I said, all right, as soon as we show up, we didn't put any calls in prior. We were going to go and just see him anyway. The treatment was already written up, Punch Dance, Timmy, and, you know, and everybody just put it together. And we said, as soon as we get there, I'm going to run to the door, guys, and I'm not going to ask them anything. I'm just going to tell them, yo, we got cameras and we have puppets. We're gonna do a little something in the right. in the shot, you know, in the place, you know. And they kind of shrugged and went along with it. So we went in and just ran in and shot it as quick as we could. So mm-hmm. the shots of him, you know, pointing at the puppets in the audience. I mean, you know, a lot of people in a lot of different creatures show up to Corey Feldman shows, so why not puppets? So we did it, and we went back and we edited it together. We sent him, I think, a message through a friend. We have a mutual friend, and he said he saw it, and that was kind of it. We were hoping that he was gonna either be super into it or hate it, but he was just kind of like, cool.
Or like go online and
flame
you and
at least something exciting, a restraining order or something. Nothing. So
C&D in the mail.
No, nothing.
That's really funny, though, that you just kind of... I love the puppets. For anybody...
David does, too.
For those of you who are listening, go to YouTube and just type in Waltham Summer Nights, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. So we were talking a little bit off-air about what's been going on, and take me back. Let's go back in time. Take me back to when the band first started playing. What do you remember about the Boston scene at the time? So, 99, you were in the 2000 Rumble. Let's talk about that. What do you remember when you first started? Because originally the band was Bad Larry that morphed into...
Dirty Larry
that morphed into Waltham.
Right. But Dirty Larry was kind of like an Andy Kaufman kind of approach to music. We were looking to see how quiet we could get the audience on purpose. It was
really
that kind of band, you know? But after a while, you play live and you start pulling shenanigans and... You get what you look for. We're into wrestling, so we were wrestling on stage a lot. You know, just anyway, we weren't really into the material that we were playing. Mm-hmm. We were finding ways on how not to play the material and still get a set time. And one of the ideas, because I had already kind of been, I became disenchanted. I didn't want to do it anymore. And Dave's like, "Yo, I got an idea." I went in your Jeep and I grabbed. You had a Rick Springfield Greatest Hits in your car, and I was like, "Yeah, you know, it was summertime. I was driving around. I had a bunch of CDs in there. It was one of them." And he locked himself in my parents' like sort of like a wine cellar that he turned into a recording studio, and he came out with a couple of songs. It was Maria was one of them, and we were going to play a show at this place called the Alternate Route in Weymouth at the time, and David said, "Listen,
it
was a big place."
Exist?
No, it's not there. It was a big room, and it was something that David wanted to do and break up on stage and then reform behind the curtain and come back out as this band that plays this type of Rick Springfield stuff. And I was like, "You are out of your mind." But I can actually
hear his voice in my head telling you this story. I can actually hear it.
That kid has been so right so many times. But so we were like, let's do it. So we did. We broke up on stage, and then we came out and started. And when we were rehearsing it, we got such a kick out of it. It was so different from what we were doing, because we were kind of sounding like a Faith No More, you know, wannabe band. You know, that was the thing. And vocally, I really like, you know, everybody who sings should like Mike Patton and Brandon from Incubus. So we were kind of in that world. But we weren't listening to that on the way to the rehearsal. Every time we'd go to the rehearsal, the windows are down and we're playing either Men at Work or Eddie Money or something. But we would go downstairs and not play that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it didn't make any sense. So finally, when Dave was like, "Yo, let's just do this because it'll be, you know, we'll pull a one up on the audience." I was like, "Whatever, Dave, let's do it." And we got up there, and people started to come closer to the stage. And I was like, I can't believe it. People like this sound coming from us, and we were naturally really good at it.
People want to sing along to songs, and you're good at a lot of things. You're really good at writing songs that people want to sing along to.
Well, that's nice. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I like that kind of music, and David just has a knack for writing it. And when he wrote the original batch, I had to do nothing but what I was already doing in the shower and in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time somebody says, "Yo, just go up there and have fun," that was really the first time that I can honestly say I went up there. I was like, "Yeah, I'm just going to have fun. Let's see how that goes," instead of being so caught up in the whatever we were doing with Dirty Larry. And I had a blast. It was fun, and I think we're good at it because it's the most natural, most honest thing that comes out of us, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So
you definitely tapped that sort of Rick Springfield thing that wasn't... We talked about this earlier, too. That wasn't what was happening in the Boston scene at the time.
It wasn't.
I think we were really leaning pretty heavy at the time when you guys were coming out.
There was a lot of rap rock bands, you know, and I was a fan of that genre, the best of those bands, but I can't rap. So I was out of a gig while that was popular, I couldn't do anything, you know? So, so we were kind of different enough where that plus being, you know, in certain places, we were very friendly with the drummer to Fuzzy at the time. We worked with them, you know, at Cambridge Soundworks, and to meet them and Cherry 2000, and it was all like Jay Maskus, all those people that were part of that FNX sort of world, that alternative world, got a real kick out of us. They thought we were kind of funny.
I
was like, yeah, all right.
When I was when I was on WFNX, we were playing with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that it was enough. If it was enough of a different thing, where we were kind of alternative to alternative, and it was prior to the retro move.
You were completely opposite of what was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you took a lot of hits for that, because I remember, I mean, there's Rumble stories from the year you guys played, right?
Absolutely.
There was some bad blood, right?
So I think a little bit, I think, but I think I was just telling the story to a friend of mine here that I liked it because it was so exciting during those times. Because there was that tension. They were like, how dare these guys from the suburb, named after the suburb, come in and play to primarily all the girls in the
happy
audience.
Happy songs.
Yeah, yeah, no, but it was directed. We were gifting. That's how David, he calls it gifting. He's like, yo, we're just going to, you know, some flowers, it's candy.
Yeah.
We're giving it to whoever it is that got the lucky name that we used to write the song.
Still pissed. I don't have a Wild Femme song.
We'll work on
Damn it.
David's probably listening, so he's working on it right now. So. But
it's very rhymey.
It is. But yeah, that was it. I mean, it wasn't really much other than, you know, the timing, and we were having a good time. We were really having a good time knowing that everything else we were doing wasn't working, and this happened to work, and we weren't expecting it, so we're just going with it because we're like, hey, we do this anyway.
It was a really fun club, because I remember a lot of the shows, and I went to a lot of the shows where people would be like, yeah, I mean, everybody was, every single person was happy, and every single person wanted to be close to the stage, and everybody was, I remember Tichy's sweaty, stinky Tichy shows, and we'd be like wringing ourselves out on the sidewalk, but you're like, I just had the best time.
I liked how many different kinds of people would show up to those early days,
very
too.
Much.
And everybody
very
gave
much
it
so
a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was nice because you would see people looking at each other being like, you're into this too? You're into this too? You know, and that was it. You know, it was niche, and it was, you know, it was this little thing, but it was for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just little around here until people were like, ah, you know what? I like them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kept doing it.
You became people's dirty little secrets, I'm sure, too. You know, like those guilty pleasure bands, like those hard rockers that were like, yeah, I kind of like Waltham, or
yeah,
I kind of like Springfield, or I kind of really like it.
If we made it okay for them to say it out loud, then all right.
It's WMFO. I'm talking to Frank from Waltham. We're doing a big show. It's a huge show. Saturday, August 3rd. It's at the Sinclair in Cambridge. It really is a Rumble celebration. Now, this is the 40th Rumble year, and I'm proud to say that the Rumble's still going on through all of the changes, all the radio stations going away, all of, well, my show getting canceled. You know, you do what you do. You either keep going or you fold, and I never fold.
That's right.
I never fold. I keep going. Let's play some more Waltham, huh?
Okay.
It's On the Town with Mikey D, WMFO.